Oye, 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 the Honorable Court of Appeals for the Third District for the State of Texas, sitting in Bell County, is in session.
Y'all may be seated. Boy, we are close. Good morning. Welcome to the Third Court in Bell County. I am Justice Gisela Triana, and along with Justice Shari Kelly and Justice Rosa Theofanis, we are very thankful and grateful to have been invited and allowed to have our traveling oral arguments in Bell County. Can you hear me now? Is that better? Sorry about that. Good morning to the parties. Before we start, a couple of housekeeping matters. We are being audio taped, not videotaped, this morning, and the audio portion of this oral argument will be on our website later this afternoon if anybody didn't get enough today and want to hear themselves speak or hear somebody else speak. You're welcome to at that time. My understanding, are we doing regular time, Jeff? Okay, so my understanding is we are starting with the appellant. We'll have 15 minutes, and then the appellee will have their 20 minutes to respond, and then the appellant will close with their reply for 5 minutes. We don't have lights like we usually do in our courtroom, so our honorable clerk, Jeff Kyle, is going to be holding those cards. So if when you get the yellow, that means you've got 2 minutes left. When you get the red, that means please stop speaking. But if you're in mid-sentence or mid-thought, please finish your thought. We don't expect anybody just to literally stop, but that means your time's up. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
And is the appellee ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. I am going to call cause number 03-24201-CV, Meritage Home of Texas, LLC versus, and is it Walter or Walther?
It's Walther.
Walther, Family Limited Partnership. If y'all can please introduce yourselves and who you represent. Go ahead.
Amy Ward for the appellant.
Thank you.
Matt Powers and Daniela Welch on behalf of the appellees.
Okay. Ms. Ward, if you'd like to come, are y'all coming to the podium?
Yes.
If you'd like to come to the podium and start us off. And I'm sorry to interrupt before you start, but I do want to go ahead and introduce the rest of our court just because they're sitting here in the jury seats. We have, to my right, we have Judge Karen Crump, who is sitting with us. We have our chief, Darlene Byrne, and we have our Justice Maggie Ellis as well. So we're happy to be here. Ms. Ward, you may proceed.
May it please the court. Meritage agreed to buy a large piece of land in Williamson County to construct a residential subdivision. At the last minute, the Walthers refused to close. Meritage sued for specific performance. The case was tried to a jury, and the jury found for Meritage on liability, but against Meritage on the remedy of specific performance. Even though the Walthers lost on breach, they convinced the trial court to sign a judgment 100% in their favor, including damages and attorney's fees. So the Walthers hit the jackpot, but their windfall cannot be justified. The winning party on breach should not have to pay $1 million to the party who breached.
Ms. War, in the verdict, the jury answered, as you just said, did Meritage fail to comply with the contract? The answer is no. So is that answer equivalent to an affirmative finding that Meritage complied with the contract?
I believe it is, Your Honor. I don't think there's any difference here. Obviously, technically, it's a failure to find that Meritage did not comply. So avoiding the double negative, we can say that the jury found that Meritage complied.
And what authority supports that view, your view?
Oh, Your Honor, this hasn't been an issue in the case, so I don't have any particular authority. I don't think it makes a difference here how the findings were worded, those particular findings. In any event, for specific performance, and the Supreme Court told us this in DiGiuseppe versus Lawler. The plaintiff has to prove that it did not fail to comply with the contract, that the seller did fail to comply with the contract, and then that the buyer was ready, willing, and able to perform its obligations on the relevant date. So that is why the findings are worded that way. Those are the requirements for specific performance.
So what do we do with the answer to question number four, which is, was Meritage ready, willing, and able to perform its obligations? And they said on December 27th, and they said no.
All right. The undisputed evidence is that Meritage was ready, willing, and able to comply. And the key is the language of that question four. It doesn't ask, did Meritage fail to comply with the contract? It doesn't re-ask the breach questions. It's a very separate question. And again, the Supreme Court in DiGiuseppe explains why this is necessary, why we even have to have a question on specific performance. And the function of that question is to ensure that the buyer was harmed by the seller's breach. So, for example, if Meritage, on the day of closing, didn't have the money to close, couldn't close, wasn't able to close, or wasn't willing to pay the money, then there would have been no harm caused by the Walther's repudiation of the contract, and no specific performance would be available. But here, Meritage did have the money. Even better than that, Meritage paid the money into escrow with the title company.
But the argument is not about the money, whether they had the money or not. The argument is whether, at least going forward and trying to get the permits, whether that was part of the contract or it wasn't part of the contract, and whether that was complied with or not. So explain to me, why couldn't the jury have very well found that they did not breach the contract, they didn't fail to comply as to the payment and ready to close, but that as to the contract's requirement that by September, I believe, they were supposed to have gotten the permits, that they didn't comply with that, and even as of December, they weren't able to comply with that?
Yes, Your Honor, so that's about the preliminary plan, and this is the Walther's main argument, and it was their breach allegation. That was their allegation why. That was what they tried to prove but failed to prove to the jury, why Meritage failed to comply with the contract, because Meritage did not submit the preliminary plan on time. Now, crucially, the jury was instructed on, as part of that question, on materiality. So it wasn't enough just to have a breach. It had to be a material breach. And that particular instruction is at Exhibit 2 of your binder, if you want to look at it. It has all the factors for materiality that the jury was required to consider. So the jury correctly found that Meritage's failure to submit the preliminary plan by the deadline was not material. And I'll just go through a few of the facts that support that finding. Really, this theory about the preliminary plan was a made-up, after-the-fact excuse why the Walthers said that they did not want to close. And
is there any contract provision that required the appellees to send you a notice of default?
Yes. Yes, so, and that was in the contract. And yes, they never did complain about the lack of a preliminary plan being a default, not even on the day that they announced that they were not going to close. Exhibit 3 in your booklet, at the very top, the email. That was the email that was sent late on the day of closing by the attorney for the Walthers. And it says, in the very small print, it says, this closing will not occur today due to purchasers' non-performance on the utility obligations that can reasonably be required by seller. There's no mention of the preliminary plan. And that was repeated 3 days later in the formal notice of default that Walther sent, no mention of the preliminary plan. This was never raised as a breach issue until after Meritage sued the Walthers. That was when this excuse was invented. And the other facts in the record that support the jury's materiality finding are, okay, if you look, one of the factors of materiality is harm to the injured party, and this would be the Walthers. They're claiming they were injured by the breach. And the failure to submit the plan by the deadline was not material. Now, I want to make an important distinction. The plan itself, the preliminary plan, is vitally important. You know, development can't occur unless there's a preliminary plan. And so Meritage very much wanted to submit a preliminary plan, but it would have been meaningless because, and the city, a neutral city witness testified to this, the city would have disapproved it if it was filed because the precursors were not there. The utilities had not been approved by the city, and they do not want to see a preliminary plan and will not consider it until those utilities are approved by them.
So is the argument that do you agree that the preliminary plan was part of the contract, that that would be a material breach?
It was part of the contract. It was not, the deadline was not material. And it's very important to note that this was a continuing obligation. The preliminary plan would have been submitted after closing. All of these obligations, the utilities, everything would have been done after closing. These were all continuing obligations under the contract, and the contract itself explicitly contemplates that those approvals will not happen before closing.
So what is the consideration for? I think everybody agrees that the price was lower than the market price. What exactly do y'all consider the consideration for this contract?
Oh, I don't think we agree at all that the price was lower than the market price, Your Honor. I think there is evidence that after the contract was signed, the Samsung plant was announced, and, you know, prices did go up, which was the real reason why the Walthers didn't close. But the consideration was the $21.5 million that was going to be paid. And it, from the beginning, the testimony is that Meritage told Clayton Walther it's going to take 18 months, likely, for these approvals. But the closing period was 9 months because Clayton Walther wanted a closing quickly. It got money in his pocket sooner. That makes sense. But from the beginning, and the contract itself contemplates that, the date of closing in Section 7.1, it specifically says the earlier of this December 27th date or when the approvals are given. So since, you know, if the earlier date is December 27th, the contract contemplates that those approvals are not done yet. And if those approvals aren't done yet, the preliminary plan can't be submitted.
Would you agree that to prevail on specific performance, you have to show that Meritage Homes conclusively proved ready, willing, and able at trial?
Okay. Yes.
So assuming that the contract obligated you to provide a preliminary plan at some point, does that failure to provide one mean that you could not conclusively prove ready, willing, and able?
No, it doesn't. Because the preliminary plan, first of all, it wasn't a condition of closing under the contract. It wasn't listed in Section 7.3, buyer's closing obligations. And if you look at Section 12 of the contract, the default provisions, you know, it makes clear that the contract draws a bright line between contractual obligations as a whole and closing obligations. Under Section 12, the default provisions, the seller could default and Meritage could get out of the contract upon any contractual breach. By contrast, the buyer, Meritage, would only be in default for failure to close. So the only obligations...
So what are closing obligations? Are you saying that the closing obligations are different from the material terms of the contract?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. The closing obligations, there are only two of them. Pay the money, sign the documents. And that's certainly what the title company understood. It sent this email, and then it said Exhibit 82, and that's at number 3 in your...
I'm sorry, I had asked, are closing obligations different than the material terms? And you said yes, but then you said the closing, there were only two closing obligations, pay the money. So it sounds like you think that those are the only closing obligations, and those are also the only material breaches of the contract.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. They're not the only material terms. Obviously, as I said, the preliminary plan is a material term of the contract, but just not that particular deadline.
Okay, so, but when I'm saying closing obligations, I'm talking about what's specifically in the contract as closing obligations, so with a, you know, with parentheses. Are those not, you don't believe that those are material terms of the contract?
I do believe those are, the closing obligations are absolutely material.
Okay.
And the conclusive evidence is that we met those obligations. And again, the title company's email in Exhibit 3, it says we are now in receipt of purchaser's closing funds and signed purchaser statement. And the email a little bit later confirmed we have all required documents from the buyer.
So taking a bit of a dive on the evidence that you have of ready, willing, and able. Is that, so you've referenced the emails. What other documentary evidence do you have to show ready, willing, and able?
That is the documentary evidence. There's a testimony in the record from Meritage saying, obviously, we were ready. But these documents prove it. We had submitted the money. I mean, the money is the main closing obligation. That's what everyone cares about. We were required in the contract to pay the money and sign the documents. That's it. There were no other closing obligations.
With regards to the testimony, we have to look at the light most favorable to the verdict with the evidence relevant to that question. Would you
agree?
Sure. Okay.
That's why I'm pointing to the emails.
And then, okay, so I think you get the point I'm getting. Could the jury have, you know, since the jury makes witness credibility determinations, could the jury have looked at the evidence, you know, the evidence from witnesses and decided that, you know, they disbelieved some of it and that it wasn't credible? And then in looking to that standard, don't we have to be bound by the light most favorable to the evidence standard, at least with the witness testimony in terms of determining...
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Now here, the Walthers don't dispute, this is undisputed testimony, it's these emails, and the fact that we did deposit the money, the full purchase price, with the title company, and we did sign the documents, it's undisputed. And under City of Keller, when the evidence is undisputed and conclusive, that is, you know, that means... That means it was proven as a matter of law.
Just one last question, with the permission of our presiding judge.
Of course.
So you request rendition of judgment on specific performance. What, in your ideal world, what does that judgment say? What do you want us to say in terms of the language of the specific performance? Like, if you were crafting our judgment, it would say what? If we side with you on all points.
Our judgment or our order? Our memorandum opinion?
Our opinion, yes. Well, our opinion and our judgment. Like, we grant specific performance to do what or say what?
Yes, we hold that Meritage is entitled to specific performance as a matter of law and, you know, should be entitled to receive the property. I have to be honest, I haven't specifically thought about that language, so... This is my reaction. If I have anything different to add, I'll come and let you know in rebuttal, if that's all right.
Okay, thank you.
And I have one more question, and we will let the appellee have as much time too, but clearly we're a hot bench today. So you say under the contract that you didn't need to have the preliminary plan, but merely have pursued it diligently. Is that correct?
We need to pursue, it's a little bit more specific, the utility approvals, which are the precursor to the preliminary plan. Those are required to be pursued diligently.
And how did y'all pursue those diligently?
Oh, we filed the requests within the governmental approvals period. In fact, the first request that we filed was with Jonah for utilities. We filed it before the governmental approvals window had even opened. Under section 441 of the contract, and you have to do a little bit of calculation with the contract, but that governmental approvals period opened on, I think it was June 27th, it was late June, and it continued all the way to the closing date, but we filed the Jonah utility application in May, so before we even were required to, so that was early, and then we filed the Hutto one in August, which was absolutely within that period. And there was testimony in the record from our witnesses that explained you couldn't just file it on the first day. There was a lot of pre-work that had to happen with the city to figure out exactly what they wanted before that could be filed. But in any event, it was filed well within the period under Section 4.1 of the contract.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Powers, you want to come on up?
Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the court. At the end of 2021, on the last available date for closing, Meritage was not ready, willing, and able to perform its obligations under this contract.
So I want to ask you right there. So ready, willing, and able to do what? You said contract obligations.
The contract obligations, yes, Your Honor.
Or are you contending ready, willing, and able applies to something else other than the contract obligations?
It applies to the contract obligations. It applies to all of the contract obligations. In briefing, we've seen from Meritage the contention that the only obligations that mattered, and it was suggested in this argument today, are those that first came due on the closing date, the payment obligation, and the document delivery obligation. But that is not what the inquiry is under DiGiuseppe. It's not what the question was in the jury charge. The question was whether or not there was a ready, willing, and ability to perform the contract obligations. It sounds undisputed that they had not yet performed this.
Well, I think what's under dispute is that a contract obligation or not, and isn't determining their contract obligations a matter of interpreting the contract, and that would be a question of law, right? And we wouldn't have to look to, we could just look to the contract provisions and not to testimony to decide that point?
No doubt that in terms of understanding what are the obligations under this contract, the court can do that by reference to the contract itself. And what I understand from opposing counsel is that it was in agreement that this preliminary plan submittal obligation was in fact an obligation and a material one. The only dispute we've had is over whether the initial September deadline was material.
Well, drilling down a little bit, so.
But actually that's not true, because they're not saying that they were even supposed to have the plan even in December, that this was a work in progress. So that is disputed.
That's a fair question, Justice Triana. Let me see if I can take a step back. Section 4.4 of the contract set out a number of utility approval obligations. It's called the government approval section. And it describes a series of layers of things that have to happen. Diligent pursuit of four different steps. The first step is the SER. It's been talked about as utility arrangements. And that's something that looks like a case information sheet. It's a two-page document that gets submitted. And they, as opposing counsel noted, they submitted one of those forms fairly quickly in May and then waited several months until August after the Samsung announcement to submit the second necessary one-pager to the city of Hutto, the second of two utility regulators. 4.4 also talks about a development agreement process. There was no sufficient development agreement even submitted for consideration or approval to the city of Hutto until the day before the last day available to do that performance. And that timeline is reflected in the oral argument exhibits we submitted. And then after those two steps, and only after those two steps, is Meritage in a position to be able to submit a preliminary plan. That's an important deadline. It is a milestone event in the course of development. And that, not only was that stage and all the other stages a diligent pursuit requirement, but in Section 4.4, there was an added requirement. Besides diligently pursuing each of these approvals, there was a black and white deadline. Submit the preliminary plan for approval by that September date. It came and went. They dispute whether the September date was material. They didn't notify the Walther family they missed that deadline. The Walther family gave notice at the end of November that they had concerns about the status of this entitlement work. And they had a dozen or so concerns, and they notified, these are all of our issues. And the response back from Meritage took about a week. December 7th or 8th, Meritage says, we're still working on that preliminary plan. Walther family learns for the first time they hadn't even submitted the thing they were supposed to submit back in September.
When was the first time that the Walther family considered or gave notice to Meritage that they considered the failure to file a preliminary plan to be a breach?
So I'll answer that in two ways. The November notification by email I just referenced was a statement that we have these concerns. One of them is, what's the status of the preliminary plan? In that same email, the communication was, if we don't have these concerns addressed, we will not be in a position to close. And so they did not yet know when they sent that message that the deadline had been missed, but they gave that notice at that time. There was continuing dialogue after.
And is that in our record?
It is in the record, Your Honor. There was continuing back and forth dialogue throughout December about, what are we going to do about this? This development effort is way off track. They haven't gotten where they need to be. Mr. Jones suggested to Mr. Walther that, we think we can go in at the last minute, the day before the closing date, and convince City of Hutto to give us all the approvals we need. Well, the whole thing was a disaster. He went forward, he testified to the City of Hutto Council and asked for approval of his development agreement and everything else he needed. And the City Council told him, we're not in the business of saving you with your last minute efforts.
Well, let me take a step back here. In your brief, you say you became aware of the default on December 7th of 2021. Did you have an obligation to send notice of a pre-closing default under Article 12 of your contract or otherwise? Because you sent a notice of closing default, so what obligations do you have of sending a notice of pre-closing default under your contract?
So the notice requirement was, before a termination could be effected, that there would need to be a 3-day notice given, and that notice was given at the time that opposing counsel noted, on the day of closing, that because the utility approval obligations and diligent approval of those had not been met, that...
But that doesn't say anything about the plan. That just talks about the utilities.
That's an excellent question, Your Honor. There has been an effort by Meritage to say, these are...
telling me that a lot.
There's an effort to suggest these are fundamentally different things. That's one of the reasons why we put into our oral argument exhibits their table from their brief, where they show that the preliminary plan obligation is a utility obligation. That's the whole point. It is the place where the developer and the owner communicate to the regulator, this is what we plan as far as utilities on this land, water and wastewater, and they get approval of that. And so the preliminary plan all along is one of those Section 4.4 utility arrangements. This was not a secret or a surprise. They understood that they had progress they needed to make on utility approvals on a variety of fronts, including that preliminary plan. That is a utility obligation, and that's the notice they were given.
So your view, I guess I'm just looking at it, why have the two requirements then? Why not just have the permits or the preliminary plan if they both mean the same thing? Is that what you're saying?
The distinction is simply that there is one milestone that is triggered as a black and white event. Make sure you actually make this submittal of the plan by this date. If
they submitted a plan that did not have any teeth to it because it didn't have the required approvals, but they were diligently pursuing them, would that have satisfied their obligations in your view under the contract?
I'm doubtful it would, but that's not our facts. I will say that if you thought about a requirement to submit a brief, you could say We submitted an empty page with no citations to the record and no citations to the case law that we technically complied with the agreement, and we'd all debate whether that actually met the requirement. The purpose of this submittal obligation was to ensure that this development was proceeding at a reasonable pace, that a real progress had been made, that they had cleared that initial one-pager step, and they got to the point where they could actually get something substantive considered by the regulator, and that there would be a hope for government approvals. Now, it's true that the only obligation other than that submittal was a diligent pursuit obligation, but the government approvals deadline, as counsel has noted, was one that was binary. It was either December 27th, or if all of the approvals had been obtained earlier, then the closing date would be triggered off the acceptance of all the approvals. And for Meritage to suggest that everyone knew we would never get the approvals, then why did Meritage include that alternate deadline in the contract? Mr. Walther was led to believe that that was actually a possibility. There's been a suggestion that the Walther family hit the jackpot. This transaction was a nightmare for the Walther family.
So it's your position that Section 4.4 of the contract is what lays out that this preliminary plan is material. That is the one section of the contract that we should look to in interpreting that.
It sets out the contractual requirement. The testimony of the witnesses on both sides identified that obligation as material, and I think we have unanimity.
But what part of the contract sets forth that issue as being material? I mean, you could point to testimony of people saying that it's material, but what part of the contract sets forth the obligation? Specifically, what language?
So here, as in most cases, the parties don't actually use the words material to describe
right. What's
in the reason why we know it to be material, in addition to the testimony about this being a key priority for the parties, is that we have a time is of the essence provision that talks about the importance of getting things done timely. We also have this being an option contract. Meritage was in a position to take or leave this contract. Pretend Samsung never happened, they may have lost interest in it and not even started the effort that they started in the fall of 2021. But what ended up happening was they did decide that they were very interested in the late fall and started racing towards trying to get as much done as they could near the end. But because it's an option contract, it's different than ordinary other contracts. Case law we've cited shows that when it's an option contract, in that context, you need to treat deadlines, especially the definitive closing deadline of December 27th, 2021, as material. Otherwise,
I think the question isn't, and tell me if I'm wrong, Justice Kelly. The question is, where in the contract is it 4.4 where we find what y'all consider a material breach?
4.4.1 sets out the diligent pursuit obligations. 4.4.2 sets out the requirement of a submittal on a date certain. And there's been, the real debate was not whether or not that requirement of a preliminary plan submittal was required. It was simply whether or not that September deadline that was triggered was material, but certainly by the closing.
What if Ms. War's argument about, well, it says closing must, this must be complete on either of the earlier dates, either when it's approved or by closing. And if under your rationale, then that those, under the language of the contract, it contemplates that you won't have those approvals. So what is your response to that argument?
Yes, it contemplates that all approvals may not be received. There was a further step after the preliminary plan. The improvement plans, the actual construction drawings and engineering plans, were supposed to be drawn up, submitted, and a diligent pursuit of approval of those things. They never got that stage because they were still stuck on stage one. But there was a requirement that they diligently pursue each of those steps. Below, the jury was presented with the analogy of a house. A house starts with a foundation, then there is framing, then there's walls, and eventually paint. They never got to that paint stage, couldn't say that they diligently pursued the paint because they were stuck on the foundation stage the whole time. But the bargain these parties struck was that there would be a continuous diligent pursuit of this process and that they would get to an advanced stage, maybe not have the approvals in hand yet, would get to an advanced stage. And no question, black and white, they said, we will submit our preliminary plan by September. we submit certainly by December, even if you allow the possibility that that September deadline was not material.
I want to shift to your cross point for a second.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Your Honor. So I just want to make sure I understand. The email from Peter Cesaro?
Yes.
Is that correct? Of December 27th that says, this closing will not occur due to purchaser's non-performance of the utility obligations that can be reasonably be required by seller to close. Is that what y'all are saying is the notice that they had not filed a plan? Are we using, I think that's what Justice Kelly had originally
right.
asked. Are you using those kind of as interchangeable utilities in plan?
Right. The section 4.4 obligations, the header is government approvals, but if you read the entirety of 4.4, it addresses the approval of utility arrangements. That's what this whole entitlement effort was about, to get water and wastewater approvals in place, which are the utilities that serve a development both on the residential side and on the commercial side. And the stages of that process included first an extension request, followed by a development agreement, followed by a preliminary plan, ultimately the engineering drawings, the improvement plans that show where everything will go. They were stuck at stage one the whole time.
I understand. Okay.
So, and
a question.
What day was closing?
December 27th, 2021 was the last date available for closing. It would have been earlier if the approvals had been obtained.
And so if the notice happened on December 27th of 2021, how is that 3 days in advance?
There was a formal termination of the contract that was sent 3 days after that. And so the notice was given, we can't close. We didn't know until very late, the day before closing, this city council meeting that was ill-fated, that they were not able to go forward and get the miracle that they claimed that they would be able to get. And so once that fell apart, notice was given, the Walther family can't close. The utility obligations, the government approvals that had been expected were not diligently pursued. The plan submittal hadn't happened. And so that's why that went that way.
Okay, so I'd like to hear about every breach of the contract that you believe, or every breach of the contract by Meritage for which there was supporting evidence at trial. So we've heard your position, failure to provide the preliminary plan was a breach. So what other breaches were there, and what were the dates or times the contract required those obligations to be performed by?
Right. So in addition to the preliminary plan submittal requirement, during a government approvals period that ended December 15th of 2021, there was an obligation of diligent pursuit. We say there is no way they met diligent pursuit, at least with respect to these last stage improvement plans, because those hadn't been drawn up, they hadn't been submitted, there was no effort to usher them through the approval process because they never even got to that stage. That's a breach because they committed not only to get to that stage, but to diligently pursue that stage. And so that's another one of the breaches, but all of the breaches concern this diligent approval. That's why we focus in our briefing on the preliminary plan. That's the one that's so clearly black and white. It's an on-off switch. They submitted it or they didn't, and they agree they didn't. But each of those diligent pursuit obligations were breached.
So a question I asked Ms. Warr, but on the other side. So the jury answered no when Meritage said they, whether or not they failed to comply with the contract. To overcome that, would you agree you have to show conclusive evidence that Meritage breached?
Yes.
So what, and what is that conclusive evidence?
It's the testimony from Mr. Jones acknowledging that they did not submit the plan.
Can testimony ever be conclusive? Is it just testimony or testimony and something else?
It's undisputed testimony. No witness testified that this plan was submitted. It's just a known undisputed fact. They missed the deadline. They didn't submit the plan. And he even acknowledged, and I think it's acknowledged today during this argument, that that breach was, that element of the contract was material. The only fight we have is whether that September cutoff itself was material, but the actual obligation to do the thing, to submit the plan, we're in agreement that that was material, it was necessary, it wasn't done. I want to talk, in fact, I think we heard reference to this being a continuing obligation, and we're in agreement on that as well. There's no sense in which it makes sense for Meritage to say, well, we missed that, let's move on to the next thing. We'll get the next, we'll meet our next requirement, even though we have in the rear view a missed deadline for an important and material obligation. Now, counsel said that the jury found that the failure to submit preliminary plan was not material. You will find no such finding if you read the verdict form. The jury was asked a series of discrete questions. The questions were about whether one side or the other failed to comply with the contract, and then, if so, whose was first, and then finally, was Meritage ready, willing, and able? We don't have any basis to look behind and say, how did the jury get from here to there in answering this specific question this way? But we do have undisputed testimony that that obligation was a material one. Both sides said, I regarded that obligation as material, and that's something that informs the analysis. Now,
how do you harmonize question the answer to question two and question three?
So I think that each of the parties looked at that and said, we didn't expect this. That doesn't mean that they can't be reconciled.
Well, how do you reconcile
it? So one of the ways of reconciling it is the very way that Meritage has tried to present its theory of the case, that this deadline itself was not material. Missing on September may not have been the material breach, but they don't dispute that the obligation itself stood in place. And it was undisputed that as of December 27, 2021, the obligation hadn't been met, and there was no testimony that there was even a sightline to it being met. They didn't say, well, we project we will meet this obligation by next week or next year or 5 years from now. No projection whatsoever. They only said, we're dealing with a tough bureaucracy. We can't move this project forward because we don't even know whether City of Hutto or Williamson County has the relevant regulatory authority here. And that was an excuse, but it was not a way to be able to establish that they performed or could perform obligations under the contract. I see my time has expired.
So what would it have taken for the Walther family to conclude that Meritage had diligently pursued government approvals?
I think what the expectation was a prompt start to the process, not a 5 month wait to submit the first one pager, meeting the contractual agreed deadline for when that preliminary plan would be submitted to the appropriate regulator, an effort to make sure that those improvement plans got actually drawn up and presented to the regulator, and at least some effort towards getting it across the finish line. None of those things happened. Thank you.
Want to come on back?
May it please the court. I'd like to address Justice Triana's question about the preliminary plan and all the questions about it and everything that my opposing counsel has just said about it. Those were their breach allegations and they failed. The jury decided breach against them. So all of that, They can't rely on any of it because
so
we are required.
So I'm going to ask you the same question. So how do you harmonize the answer to question two and the answer to question four?
They're completely different questions. The same evidence does not apply to them. The breach questions are to do with breach, material breach, because that's the instruction the jury was given. And so that is everything that opposing counsel just talked about. And the jury decided that Meritage should prevail on breach. This is a completely different question about remedy, and as DiGiuseppe said, it talks about whether the buyer was harmed. Oh my goodness, whether the seller was harmed. Oh my gosh, I'm totally mixing up my question. So it's a question of harm, and it's basically, could the buyer have closed? So it is, was the harm caused by the seller's breach? Was it harmful? Because if we didn't have the money, we wouldn't have been able to close, and their breach of the contract when they said we're not going to close, that would not have been harmful. So that's what that question's about. It's not a question about the past, about what happened in the past. Those are the breach questions. It's about the future. It's essentially a hypothetical, and DiGiuseppe talks about this.
Well, it talks about specifically on December 27th.
It does.
So it doesn't say in the future, it didn't say right now could they perform. It said, were they ready, willing, and able to perform on the 27th?
That's so important. And so if you look, but it says at the relevant time. And so you look at when did the seller breach? And this, DiGiuseppe covers this. When did the seller breach? So at that time, Was the buyer prepared to, ready, willing, and able to meet its obligations?
That's not the question. The question is, was Meritage ready, willing, and able to perform on December 27th, 2021?
Right.
So not, are you saying that this is an irrelevant question and we should just ignore it?
Absolutely not. I'm saying the conclusive evidence is that Meritage was ready, willing, and able because it had its ducks on a row on closing day.
So you're arguing that there's no way to harmonize it in the sense of they just got it wrong and the evidence does not support, the record does not support.
No, the answers as they stand now, you know, they're not in conflict because the evidence is completely different. It's just that the jury happened to get it wrong. They got something wrong, and the conclusive evidence was there for them, but they interpreted the question incorrectly.
So that's what I'm saying. You're asking us to disregard question number four.
Absolutely, yes. And we didn't even need a question, as it turns out, because it was conclusive.
Did y'all object to question number four?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
No. As it turns out, as I said, we didn't even need one because the evidence was conclusive. I also...
When did you first raise your objection to the jury's answer to question four?
It's a no evidence.
Can I ask whoever's phone going off to turn? Thank you. Go ahead.
We filed a motion to disregard the verdict. That was our first time. So I'd like to address all the questions about when did the seller first say that the preliminary plan was the reason that they were, that it was a breach, that that's why they didn't close. And they said, we did it in the notice of default. They did not. That's exhibit 92 in the record. And it, again, says that we failed, that it says that Meritage failed to diligently pursue utility approvals for seller retained land per 4.4.1 of the agreement. 4.4.1 is not the preliminary plan provision. That is the utilities provision. And preliminary plan and utilities are separate in that section four, you can see. And the preliminary plan provision is 4.4.2. So they were very specific in their notice of default that it was about the utility obligations, and those were the precursors to the preliminary plan. The request to Jonah and to Hutto about where the utilities were going to be located.
And what day was that notice sent?
That was sent 3 days later. It is dated December 30th, 2021, Exhibit 92. So this is about the meaning of the question, the language of the question, and the court needs to look at that language and in light of the law of specific performance. See, my time has expired.
I have one question. Because my understanding is that the trial court entered a judgment that y'all take nothing, right?
That's right.
So you had mentioned the $1 million loss. Did I? You're referring.
Escrow and attorney's fees, I think.
Okay. Well, what are you referring to?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
It's about. It came out to a little over $900,000. And may I say one thing about the form of the judgment?
Yes.
Just to be more specific, you know, that Meritage should get specific performance as a matter of law, that Meritage should pay the purchase price, and that the Walthers should convey the property to Meritage.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Okay, at this time then, we are going to submit cause number 324-201-CV, Meritage Home of Texas LLC versus Walther Family Limited Partnership, Clarendor Capital LTD, Sparrowfields Property LTD, and Big Sky Capital LTD. Thank you very much. Court will be in recess.
Audley Drive.